You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world. And now, innovation thought leader and your super fly host, Tamara Kleinberg.
Hey, Launch Street. Have you ever left a meeting and felt like, you know, something didn't go right, but I'm not really sure what, or the person on the other side of that conversation didn't quite give me the buy-in I was looking for, but I'm not sure why? Well, I know that I have suffered from that many times, and that is why I brought in for this conversation body language and persuasion expert Tracy Brown. She has been all over NBC, CBS, and Fox giving expert advice on body language, revealing secrets that are hidden in plain sight, secrets of Lance Armstrong, Chris Christie, Vladimir Putin. I wanted to talk to her about what cues we're giving out and what cues we're missing when we're presenting our ideas, when we're trying to have a conversation with leadership or a customer, and we dig deep into it. A couple things that I want to point out that I really appreciated and I learned from the conversation, and one is we were talking about the cues that we give that either show us as confident or is weak. I discovered that I was doing some things from the stage when I do keynoting that actually makes me look weak, but you can apply that conversation and those lessons to any conversation that you're having. We really dig into it. So pay attention, think about the cues you're giving, and I would, after this episode, encourage you to actually give some of it a try. And you know, one of the big things she talks about that is really relevant to all of us is the first key in not just using your body language, but understanding others to get persuasion is to open your eyes and pay attention. I think you will be amazed at the number of cues you're actually missing. And you know what? This body language, this persuasion, this is what it takes to get your ideas, your thoughts, your career, your business to the next level. So let's get to it. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, I'm thrilled. Are you kidding? It's always fun to hang out with you.
I mean, let's just have a really fun conversation. That's what really this is all about. Anyway, but you know, you have a really interesting background. So tell me a little bit and tell the audience about how you became a body language, persuasion, lie detection expert.
So it's a long story and we're just going to jump in. So I am a retired pro bike racer. And I wasn't always pro and I wasn't always good. And because I thought my strength could get me through. And when I figured out that I needed to watch my competition more than the road and watch the tiny things, tiny little things, when I figured that out, I began to correlate that with what would happen next. And I'm talking like the drop of a shoulder or a hitch in someone's pedal stroke or maybe a waggle of their hips. And pretty soon I was able to know what they were going to do before they were going to do it. And sometimes even before they knew they were going to do it. And so when I started to figure that out, when I put two and two together, that's when I began to win. And I won a spot on the U.S. national team. I won 3 national collegiate championships. And so that innate ability, I guess, to watch things very closely is something that I picked up over time. And, through my sports career, I knew that the mental aspect was very important in my success or lack of. And so I got into a lot of mental training to help me, you know, propel me towards success. So I got into hypnosis and neurolinguistics, and then I started to figure that out pretty well. And then I was like, I think I can help other people in the same way that I'm using these tools myself. So I started to see clients. And and over that period of 8 years where I was intensively seeing clients just daily, I started to learn to read people. And the tells were different than in bike racing, but I wanted that same level of information, that same level of knowledge of what they were thinking, what was going to happen next, what weren't they saying. And some of that I was able to use to persuade them, because basically anytime anyone goes into any kind of therapy situation, the therapist has one job, which is to talk the person out of their problem. That's it. And so I got to be extra persuasive, and I found out that it worked not only in a clinical setting, it worked out at the bank, it worked at the restaurant, it worked in any kind of business situation I was in. And that's what I started speaking on when it became clear to me that that's what I needed to do to move my career to the next level was less clients, more keynotes, and just traveling around the country and sometimes even around the world to teach people how to be more persuasive. Because I found out, wow, I have this skill that I didn't even realize I had that I was using, and to dial it down into business has been quite a successful venture.
So let's dig into that a little bit. So, you know, I'm sitting here visualizing being at a conference table and trying to convince somebody on the other side of the table of my idea, whatever that idea is. And, you know, as you know, we're all about innovation here. And I think oftentimes with the more innovative ideas, it feels even harder to convince someone because you've got to explain to them something they don't yet know or understand or haven't done yet. So when you're at a, you know, when you're sitting around the table, what are you looking for in those tells like you did in bike racing with the drop of the shoulder and the, you know, hitch in the pedal? What does that translate to in a business setting?
Well, in a business setting, you're always, you should always be looking for or starting to understand how you're being received. And here's the thing. Most of us pay so much attention to ourselves and our new product and our lives that we are not paying attention to whoever's across from us. Just not doing it. And so the first key is just that, to pay attention. And I had a coach when I was growing, or when I was going to see you here, University of Colorado, because I moved to Mecca of cycling, which is here in Boulder. And
Mecca of so many things.
Yeah, well, so many things, but the more normal things are bike racing. And so I had a coach, his name was Wally. And you got to understand, Wally, he was this big cowboy guy. He wasn't the kind of guy you'd expect to be a cycling coach. And he was the guy that would take us out, put us through the toughest set of intervals we could possibly go through. So you couldn't walk when you were done. Put us in the car, take us home, cook us a hand-cut thick bacon sandwich like it was good for you. That was the kind of guy Wally was. And he'd say, Tracy, you know what? You got to pay attention or you pay with pain. And it's true, because we don't pay attention. In bike racing, it's clear because there's one finish line, right? And you're either over it before the other guy or you're not. In the rest of our lives, we never know the ramifications of not paying attention.
That's a great point.
Because you never know how many sales you miss, right? You never know how many little agreements like with vendors that aren't as favorable as they could be towards you because you're not paying attention. So that's the first key, right? And so once you're paying attention, you got to know what you're paying attention to. First thing is, are they glossed over, right? And I say that, and it's so simple, but my brother's we'll just call him a shark, right? He's not on the TV show, but he's one of those kind of guys, right? Always looking for the next business deal. And he says so many entrepreneurs come to him and they're not paying attention to that. He just is totally checked out, right? So how do you see those things? Well, for one, are they looking at you at all? Which sounds crazy, but he'll get in meetings where even he's trying to pitch and the other guy is just looking like he's looking at the head of his phone under the table, you know? And that's a big sign. Maybe the rest of the team is engaged, but maybe the big decision maker's not on board. So you got to figure out, what is that guy thinking? What does he really want? And what are his needs that you're just not addressing at all? Like, you can't even get his attention, right? And so are they leaning forward, right? Are they generally nodding yes? Are their arms crossed in front of them or not, right? And here's the thing. When people's arms are crossed in front of them, the body goes where the mind, the body's going to go and the mind's going to follow, right? So just by putting that barrier between you and whoever, by crossing your arms, you're actually in, the person who you see doing this is in a mindset that's closed, right? And you can get them to open up, right? Because no one's going to say yes to you and your idea if they're in a closed mindset, if they're comparing what you're presenting to what they know and what they know is different. And so you've got to be strategic and get them to uncross their arms. And you can do that in a lot of different ways by handing them maybe a sample of your product, by handing them a drink, right? Always keep drinks on hand because you can use them strategically to get people to move so that you're opening up their mind to you and your ideas. Because everybody wants someone who's open and comfortable and receptive, no matter what comes out of your mouth. And engaging on that level is super important. And you can strategically do that by using other people's body language for you.
So I want you to share a story with us that I happened to was fortunate enough to be there for, because you're my homie and I was sitting next to you at a conference and there was someone in front of us and you were going to be presenting them next day. That's all I'm going to say, just to give you, you know, a hint of what I'm asking
Got
for
it.
Here.
Okay.
But
okay.
I want you to share that story because we had some funny conversation while it was happening. And but do me a favor, share the story, but also break down your thought process of what you were seeing, because I think that this is a great example of you've got someone's attention for a very short time. You got to figure out some stuff about them and you got to make what you know work in your favor.
Exactly. Okay, so here's the story for those of you who weren't there.
Which is most all but 1,200 of us.
Yeah, which is everyone. Okay, so Tamara and I are members of the National Speakers Association. We're both keynote speakers. And there's a conference every year. So there's, 2,000 or 3,000 professional speakers get together.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And you can imagine, while we're there, there's a lot of talking, not a lot of listening going on. I know, weird. But I had been selected. I applied and I had been selected 3 weeks before the conference to pitch to the sharks from Shark Tank. They had the TV show. They had brought some of the sharks there looking for deals. And there was four of us nationally who had been selected to pitch on the main stage. Now, I had done my research on the sharks that I knew, but there was one guy and he's the one that I knew I wanted for sure, is Kevin Harrington. Now he was on season one of Shark Tank. He is the inventor of the infomercial. And I could not find a lot of information about him because I had, in my mind, I had two sentences to get his attention, or otherwise I knew he would be gone. And I, there's not a lot online about him. There's not a lot of TV on him either. And because I look back at some of the old episodes trying to find, he didn't get a lot of airtime, even though he was on the panel with all the rest of the sharks. And so, we went the night before. I didn't know what I was going to say to him. I knew what I was going to say to the other sharks because I knew their personality types. I knew their profiles, but he was the one I knew I wanted. He was the one with the deepest pockets. And
access to the areas you wanted to take your product out
to. Exactly, right, because I wanted home shopping networks. There's three of them. I wanted infomercials because I thought, because I'm a persuasion person and I have a system for how to talk your way out of a traffic ticket that is dynamite.
And that has worked for me on several occasions.
It didn't work for you because you're driving around without your license.
No, it worked. It works on every occasion except for the one where I forgot my driver's license completely. It wasn't the speeding that was my problem. It was the lack of proof that I should be driving.
It was the driver in that problem. Yeah. Anyway, point being is I knew that this had teeth. And I knew I had two sentences to get it across to him, but I didn't know how I was going to do it. And so then literally a miracle happened. And I would say it's nothing short of that. We went to a show as part of the conference, an evening show. It was the night before my pitch. And our table was directly behind Kevin's table. And I sat there and I watched and I watched and I couldn't even pay attention to the show.
What happened in the show. We were too busy watching him.
Yeah, there was an amazing show going on and it was a comedy impersonator. He did everything from like Journey and Michael Jackson to the Chipmunks, right? He was great. And me and you, Tamara, we just sat there and we watched him and I watched his reaction and I got a feel for, okay, this is what he's doing. I know how he thinks. And so I went back to my hotel room and I practiced and practiced and practiced and studied and studied. And then it was time to go on stage the next day. I sat behind there. I listened to two people ahead of me pitch. And you got to understand there's 2,000 people in the audience on the most prestigious stage any speaker can be asked to present on, which is at the National Speakers Association Conference. I sat literally backstage. I sat there. The music's pumping through the ballroom. And I started to shake. And I knew that shaking was not a good way to go out there in my 15 minutes of fame and try to get a deal from a shark. And so I think this is a really good tip for anyone who's about to go into a pitch. And I've shown this to you tomorrow. You can take your fingertips and put them together, almost like tinting your fingers, kind of like in a church steeple. And this actually will start to synchronize the left and right hemispheres of your brain. And when your brain is working together on both hemispheres, a couple things happen. For one, you can't do negative self-talk.
Oh.
And for two, that translates into confidence. A calm peace will come over you. So if you're listening at home, don't do it if you're driving, you need your hands on the wheel. But if you're listening, you know, in your office or at home, just tense your fingers, put your fingers together. They call it a power steeple. And within about a minute, what happened to me backstage, all of a sudden a deep peace came over me. I heard him call my name. So back up. So first things first, you got to take control of your own physiology. You have to, because people can see right through it. They can see right through if you're nervous. And so confidence is key. Confidence is sexy, right? So put yourself in that scenario. Okay. So here I was, all of a sudden the shaking had subsided. They called my name. I walked out on stage. And this is what I said. I said, "Hi, sharks. I got one question for you. What do Lance Armstrong, Chris Christie, and Vladimir Putin have in common?" Well, they have me in common. I've been asked to interpret their body language on NBC, CBS, and Fox to tell the world what they're not saying. And I could do that for you too. And I think I will right now. So freeze for me, sharks. Just freeze. The audience went wild. The sharks got a stressed look on their face, but they froze. And I did a little body language interpretation on each one of them. Now, for Kevin, when I got to him, I said, "Kevin, I sat behind you last night at the dinner. And so I know you're a really fidgety guy. Until you see something you like, and then you go really still, don't you?" A big smile came over his face and he said, "Yep." And I said, "So I know you liked the Stevie Wonder impersonation last night the best." He's like, "That is right." And I had the shark I wanted on the hook. He would have said yes to just about anything that I presented because I connected with him and I showcased my knowledge right there for him. And so he bit on what I threw out. And I said, and he said, "Look," because I said, I have a system for getting out of a traffic ticket. I think it's a winner. And he said, "I love it. People will love your tiny solutions," which is another big lesson when it comes to persuasion and influence. You cannot save the world with your product. As much as we'd all like to, you can't. You have to have a tiny solution to something. And I think that this is really key. It has to, the more expensive of a problem you solve, the more people will pay for your tiny solution. So,
will you give us an example of what you mean by that?
Yeah. So, tiny solutions, tiny things that I can do with my knowledge. And I'll tell you how it's evolved even since then. Talking your way out of a traffic ticket, tiny solution to a problem most people have. Because a lot of people have never talked their way out of a traffic ticket. Interpreting online dating profiles. I have a system for that. Works great. People send me profiles of guys that they're wanting to maybe go out with, or maybe they've gone out once or twice, and they go, "Trace, what do you think?" And I'm like, "Well, this guy has an anger problem. How's that going to be for you?" And they'll be like, "Oh, I don't know." And then sooner or later, here comes the guy with his temper. And I'm like, told you, right? So, getting and that has evolved. Like, I've started to understand the depth of the skills that I have, and I have taken that and because I do a lot with lie detection, and I found out when I called my lie detection information fraud prevention and targeted finance conferences and banking insurance, all of a sudden people were really interested and paid me three times as much. And so I think it's some of that is the learning that I got from this whole concept of tiny solutions, right? Because everybody wants to make more money. So make sure you're solving an expensive problem very elegantly, like in a quick way.
I love that. It just goes to show you the power of one specific solution.
Right, right.
I want to loop it back for a second, though, for the audience, because I think the part that we left out is he was shaking his leg like many people do under the table. Like that was what you were paying attention to.
Yep, yep. He was dangling his foot, dangling his shoe off his foot while his legs were crossed, and just generally like fidgety. He would fidget all around. He could not sit still. So that told me something about him. It told me that he's probably, but I looked at some other things tomorrow, and I think I pointed these out to you too. He has a really short haircut, like almost a flat top. And he's every picture, and he proved this when I saw him too, he's very crisp, like that in how he dresses. And he wore a really big watch, like not like a rapper kind of watch, but like a nice, like a nice wrist watch that is clearly very expensive. So all these things told me when I added them up together, I go, okay, he's a pretty visual guy. And I know how visual people think, right? So they think really quickly and they're really, really fast. And then they're on to the next thing. So you have just a couple sentences to grab them, or they're going to glaze over and you're done. And so that's what I gleaned about him from that. And you know what? I was right in every dealing with him, because he's actually, he thinks so fast. He's actually ADD. And as far as I can tell with my dealings with him, he's right. He has a great instinct, but with him, it's boom, boom, boom. Okay. Gotta go, Trace. See you. Bye. Click. And, you know, drops 6 months of work on me in two sentences. And so, I mean, because dealing with these guys, everybody thinks, oh, I want to be on Shark Tank. Well, I'm going to say you may want to reconsider. Because, and I mean, Tamara's been on this journey with me. It was a year and a half adventure. And they have big ideas and they are not kidding. And they are in it for them. They are not in it for you. And so you just got to raise your game. You got to raise your game.
Well, what I love about that story too, by the way, is that it's one, you paid attention. There was one little thing, you caught onto it. You saw it, you noticed it. And that opened up whole new doors of opportunity for you. And that's the thing I think when, you know, for those listening out there that we have to pay attention to is, well, what are we not paying attention to? What are we missing? To your point, I love what you said earlier that, you know, like in sports, you win or lose. It's very clear if you paid attention or not, but in life, it's not always that clear. So here's my next question for you that has been kind of percolating in my head as you're talking. What tells do we give that we don't even know we're giving? And whether that's, you know, on either side of it, if we're nervous, we don't believe what we're saying, you know, we're lying, we don't trust the words coming out of our mouth. Not so much, not always malicious, but you know, like, I mean, you've seen me speak, like, you know, the moments where I'm like, I don't know if this is going to go well. Like, I'm sure it's written all over my face, right?
Oh yeah. So yeah.
What are those tells that we give and don't even know?
Well, okay, so pretty much we give, anybody gives tells all the time and doesn't even know it. They're deeply unconscious, okay? They're not something that we can really fix, okay? And this is why when I, because, you know, since the Shark Tank, I've done a lot of things, and I told you I was more focused on fraud now, fraud prevention, and stopping fraud loss. And so I've taken some classes from the FBI. And their top trainers in body language, deception detection, that kind of thing. I go in these classes and it's crazy because everybody's in cargo pants. Everybody has a gun except me. They call me the private citizen. I don't know if I'm in the most safe class or the most dangerous. I just don't know. But the things that they teach in there, like the body can't lie. Words can lie. The body can't lie. And lies are rampant in the sales process and in the pitch process. So if you're saying, I have the best widget out there, as you shake your head no.
I've totally seen people do that.
Yeah. Like, no, you don't. I mean, because like there's something in you that doesn't believe it, because the body can't lie. Words can lie, body can't lie. Okay. So no, shaking your head left to right, that means no. Nodding your head up and down. Like, this is for Americans, right? Like Western Europeans and Americans. Nodding your head up and down, that says yes, right? So if you, for example, if you shrug your shoulders and say, yeah, we'd really like your investment of $50,000 or $50 million, and you're shrugging your shoulders, that says, you know what, there's uncertainty there. There's something you're hiding that you're not saying. And people who have studied with me, right, or been in one of my keynotes, they're going to pick this up, right? Now, here's the thing. Body language, reading body language is innate in all of us, okay? And everybody's had that feeling around people that where something's just not right. The body language is the science behind that. And it's been key to our survival for millions of years to be able to know if we can trust someone or not. And so what I want to do is put some science behind that hunch that you may have and give you some tells so you can be more congruent so other people don't develop a hunch about you.
Isn't that interesting? So if I hear you right, what you're saying is, well, I've got so many thoughts swimming in my head right now. So one is, I may be giving cues of not being trustworthy and not meaning to and not knowing it. So that's number one, because I'm not being congruent. And the second thing is, and it's funny that as you were telling that about the shrug, I was in a conversation the other day with someone. It was about a new idea. And my other colleague presented the idea, and the person on the other person said, that sounds like it has a lot of potential. But as they said it, they kind of shrugged. And I couldn't in the moment figure out what was wrong. I was like, something's not right here, but I couldn't put my finger on it. But as you said, I'm like, oh, that's what it was. They didn't really believe what they were saying. And their body actually totally told it.
Yeah. So when you see that, because detecting lies is one thing. Interrogating and getting to the truth is a whole different thing. And so you got to be okay asking questions. And you go, huh, tell me more about that. Like, I get you have more to say.
Yeah.
And pull that out of them just by asking the questions. Like when you let it go, you let it go. Like you are, it drives me crazy because you are shooting yourself in the foot because you're not getting all the information that's there. Like you're glossing over it and keeping on going. And guess what? That information is the most valuable thing that you may be able to come out of the meeting with, is understanding their true feelings and dialing down into that so you can either spin your pitch or go fix the problem that they're seeing that they're not telling you about.
Right. Because whatever that hidden thing is, it's going to impact their buy-in in some way down the road. You just don't know what it is.
Absolutely. That's the thing. Because no matter what, we think we make decisions logically, but the truth of the matter is we make our decisions based on how the other person makes us feel. And so if you're making someone feel uncertain about your product, guess what? It's going to come out in the wash somewhere along the way. You're not going to get the full buy-in. Or this is what they'll say, because this is what sharks do. They say, and you'll remember this, they'll say, yeah, I like that. I like this a lot. It has a lot of potential. Go out and test it and come back to me with the results. Like when you've sold a gajillion of them. Or go in my shark, Kevin, he said, okay, look, go out and make this a bestseller on Amazon, because he had me repackage some of my books. Make this a bestseller on Amazon and come back to me, and then we'll go from there. Right. So a shark's not a magic bullet. Neither is any investor. Right. Yeah. You have to have that wide appeal in your niche. And maybe it's over everybody. Right. A really wide variety of people. Or maybe it's really tiny in your zone. But you've got to prove success to any shark before they're going to open up their wallet for you.
Right. And really what you're saying is a shark is anyone who you need buy-in from. At the end of the day, your leader, your customer, your boss, your vendor partner, whoever it is, the people that you're speaking to. I'm curious, and you know, maybe this is me just gathering more knowledge for myself. Who knows? But I am wondering, because you know, you and I both do a lot of keynoting around the country.
Yeah.
What, when you're on stage and you're in front of a couple thousand people, what cues do you try to give to instill the audience with some trust that you know what you're talking about, some confidence. I mean, I know that you know what you're talking about, but you know, every time we go up in keynote, it's to a group of people who don't know us.
Right.
So they don't know us personally. So they don't have any, they've heard our story, they've heard the success, they don't have any backdrop. And the reason I'm asking is I think oftentimes in life, persuasion is about that. It's not the people you know the best all the time. It's oftentimes people who you're meeting cold and trying to engage in a transaction with in some mm-hmm. way or another. So I'm curious from the keynote perspective, how you kind of make sure you are exuding that on stage?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I do a lot on stage that I don't really tell people about, but let's talk about it here. So for one, and it's kind of weird, but stand up straight, right? And if you're kind of hunched over, they're going to see that, right?
Yeah. Which we do more often than we realize, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing that you do when I'm talking to people on stage, and you see speakers do this, where they kind of sidestep, like they'll put like their face in the audience and they want to go to their left, right? So what do? They take their right leg, cross it over their left leg, and then uncross it and put their left leg on the left side again, right? So they kind of sidestep across, like across the stage. Guess what? When you do that, you are putting yourself in the most powerless looking position you possibly can in front of an audience, which is standing with your legs crossed like that.
Huh.
Even if it's for a split second, right? So if you want to go left on stage, turn yourself left, walk left, then face audience. Like, it's crazy, you know? And here's the thing. I didn't even know I was doing it until someone that me and Tamara both know and really respect kind of pulled me over and said, hey, here's what you're doing. I was like, holy crap. like, I didn't even realize it, right? And that just says how deep body language goes, right? That you just don't know you're doing things. So, When I go to one side of the stage, I'll generally talk about something positive. If I have to go to something negative, I'll go to a different side of the stage. Right.
Oh, that's so interesting. Wait, hold on. I want to back up here because it's so important. So a couple things. One is stand up straight, which sounds easier said than done. Right. You do. I have to think about it. Otherwise, I'd probably end up hunched over on stage.
Yeah.
But the two other things. So one is, you know, if you aren't, even if you're just in front of five people, you don't want to shimmy left and right because you put yourself in a weak position. And it's fascinating because I see people do that all the time. I probably do it sometimes too. And I don't realize why I suddenly don't respect them. But I
why
don't.
You suddenly don't respect yourself.
Yeah, like what is happening? But it's those subtle little things that it's – anyway, so keep going. But I wanted to dig into that because I think it's so important. And the negative positive one is another really interesting thing of you are – correct me if I'm wrong, Tracy, but you are putting people into the mindset you want them in too. So I want them over here thinking about pain. But when I'm talking about the possibilities, I want them on the positive side of the stage or the meeting room. So apply it to everybody's world out there. Because I want them to be thinking about what's possible, not the pain, which I've left on the other side of the table.
Which literally you've left behind. And if you do it right, if you do it properly, you can get a little more advanced with it. Because remember, most of us, well, we all speak English here, right? So we all read English. So we read left to right. Okay, so our timeline is organized. The left is the past, the right is the future. Okay, so, but you got to flip it around. So you can put negativity in the past, impossibility in the future by walking along your timeline as you speak. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
But the key is the audience sees it in reverse. And so you have to play to the audience's timeline, not yours.
Got it. So if I'm in front of a group of 10 people, I've got to do it's right to left, not left to right, basically. Right to left.
Yeah. So the right would be maybe more negative, more how things used to be. And then generally, as you start to address the possibilities and you start to address everything you can do for your client, you start to walk, turn and walk, not shimmy. To your left, right, which is the audience's future, and you can start to build future possibility just through that.
The next time we're at a meeting together, an NSA meeting, I'm totally going to shimmy across the stage just for you.
Don't do that.
I'm going to do a little grapevine.
Yeah, it is just a grapevine. It's just like in basketball practice where you do the grapevine.
Yeah. So, you know, I can't even believe it. We're almost out of time. So I know, right? So we might have to have you back on. So I want to ask you though, what do you think, if you were to tell people who are listening, here's the one thing I want you to take away when it comes to being persuasive and paying attention to what's around you so that you can push those ideas forward, what would you tell them?
The one thing, you know, I got to say, we've gone over it. It's pay attention. It's pay attention or pay with pain. And, you know, there's a lot of ways you can do that. I have books on body language. There's a lot of programs out there. But I think, and you kind of helped me develop it a little bit. My Persuasion Point private membership website has a ton of videos and ebooks and all sorts of things on what to look for, you know. And but generally, if you just look, are they in or are they out? You should be able to tell. You should be able to get a feeling. I mean, you're going to be golden.
Well, you're so right, though. I mean, we're so focused on making sure we say what we're supposed to say and the way that we're supposed to say it and that our idea is great that we forget to pay attention to how people are absorbing what we're saying.
Yeah, they're telling you all the time what they want to hear and how they need to hear it. It's up to you to be flexible in your communication so that you can do that. And to the extent that you insist, anybody insists on doing things your way, and not learning how to be flexible in the words that come out of your mouth and the body language that you use you can learn it. It's super cheap to learn, right? If not free. And if you're going through all the pain to make a product, have a company, and then you get in front of an investor and you're not paying attention to the easy stuff, oh my gosh.
Why bother?
Yeah. Why bother? Like, if you're not going to ice the cake, why bake a cake?
Oh my gosh. And it's all about the icing in my book. So
I love icing.
I do love it so much. Frosting's the best. So I'm going to add to what you said too, which is once you have identified that, which is truly what you're saying is foundation level number one. And I would say add to that is then you got to be willing to call it out to what we were talking about earlier, because, you know, I may notice, Tracy, that you're not engaged, but if I don't go, hey, Tracy, I'm getting the sense that maybe there's something else going on here, or, hey, I'm getting the sense that maybe there's a little hesitation. Am I reading that right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to get to that next level. So you got to take what you see and then do something with it.
It's true. You got to use what you see. You don't use it, I mean, the opportunity's gone, you know? And so good God, take care of yourself. Like, don't do all the work and then forget the finished product.
Right. You know? So Tracy, where should people go to find out more about you?
Oh yeah. Bodylanguagetrainer.com. There's a ton of videos on there. And just for your friends, Tamara, I have on YouTube, you got to search for it. It's the 21-day body language makeover and it's free. And I will let all your friends in on that secret, because not a lot of people know about it. But yeah, 21-day awesome body language makeover if you just want a quick and dirty.
Can I put the link in the show notes, or would you be cool with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah, I know what it is, and it's fantastic. So this is a big offer. So take Tracy up on it and go check that out, and then check out her other stuff too. So, because I know it works. I call this woman all the time with, like, I've got this presentation. I'm trying to sell the big. What should I do? And apparently not shimmy is one of them.
Yeah.
So Tracy, last question for you is, what would people be surprised to learn about you? You know, hobby, passion, experience.
Oh, I'm a hula dancer. Yeah.
So I love that about you.
I'm a white girl that dances hula.
And I've seen you. You're pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. I'm not a Hawaiian girl, but I get it done.
Tracy, thanks so much for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.